Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square, the gates.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we come to you live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we also are on the Prophecy Zone radio network on Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to encourage you to listen to our broadcasts. I hope they edify you and bless you and help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want to give him praise today for all he has done for us, how he has saved us and rescued us. And we're forever grateful for that. Also, we want to let you know that this is a live call-in program, and you can call in today. Perhaps some of you have belonged to Alcoholics Anonymous, or you have gone through an inner healing experience, and if you have a comment, we would love to have you call in at 914-338-1638. And also, the chat room is open. So I'll be looking forward to your comments or your questions. Also, we do have a YouTube channel, and that channel is Jonah T for Tom 48, and there's some great videos there. I'm sure they'll bless you. They're informative. And also, we will be working on a new YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. So we have those things to look forward to in the future. We also have a website, propheticnews.com, and there's so many great articles there. I haven't written many of them. I've written a few articles myself, but over the years, going through the internet and finding topics that interested me and that helped me so much in my walk with the Lord. You know that we all go through things as Christians. when we get born again, it's just the beginning of a new life. And how easy it is really to be deceived, isn't it? It doesn't take much. And Christians, for the most part, I think most of us really, we have a heart toward God. And we want to please God. So we allow people to do things to us, such as convincing us to join Alcoholics Anonymous and suggesting that it is a Christian organization, which it is not. And also encouraging many, many people. I know myself, I've had people try to do this to me where they come with this inner healing. And they want you to confide to them all your past secrets. And then they want you to go through these, what I would call rituals. And so anyway, we are going to be talking about that today. My thing is this: whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. So we should enjoy our freedom in Jesus Christ and not be brought back into bondage. I think really when we're young Christians, we're so gullible because we just came out of the world and we want to do things to please the Lord. So we allow ourselves to be manipulated by leadership or by ministers who don't have pure motives, and so much of it is about manipulation and control to get your money or to get your financial support. So no human being really should try to make you be dependent on them. It's very, very dangerous. It's I think it's very dangerous when people go to church and they only depend on the pastor to teach them the Word of God and they never read it for themselves. You'd be amazed at the things you can find out in the Bible. And I know many times we've talked about tithing on this program, and to me, that's one of the most abused teachings that we have in the body of Christ. Now, because we're so innocent and gullible, we believe it. We believe what they say, and we want to please God, and we want to give God 10%. And we never really study the Bible for ourselves, but you would be surprised at what you find. So it's the same thing with the inner healing and the Alcoholics Anonymous. Some of these things, it sounds good, but what does the Word of God say? And is the Word of God what heals us? The washing of the water of the Word of God, it renews our mind. It it helps us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus, where old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And we know, and I think it's becoming obvious every day that we're living today, that this world is not our home. The Bible says we are the true aliens. If anyone tries to tell you there are aliens on other planets, the only other planet where there are inhabitants is the planet of heaven, and the planet of Earth. So we are strangers in a strange land, truly, and this world is not our home. As we see the events unfolding before us, things in the news, every day there's something happening, and when you read the news reports, it's so hard to believe. Now, myself, I was a child of the 60s, so I was in the era when we had LSD, and you had Kent State, where when people were protesting on college campuses, they actually went in with troops, and people were shot and killed. Wow, we had assassinations in this country. The assassination of John F. Kennedy, which was very, very shocking to us at the time. I remember I was about 11 or 12 when it happened, and we were glued to our TV sets, and we watched the president get murdered, and then we watched his supposed assassin get murdered right before our eyes. I remember saying, "Mommy, they shot that man." And I couldn't believe it. I was actually watching a live shooting of a human being on television. Oh, dear. And it was a time where there were so many drugs being used and experimented with by young people. But I think that, and I thank God that in the 1980s, 1981, I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he changed my life. And we see things happening today, the political unrest around the world. you know, it's a scary time, really. If you didn't know God, and I could see where people would really be frightened. Look at how many suicides there has been this week. Most notably, suicide in Ohio of a wild game owner. Another father shot his children and his wife and then killed himself. very, very tragic, the things that are happening. So let us remember to pray for people that we know that don't know God, and to let them know that they can have a new life in Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful life to know Jesus. And we have freedom in Jesus Christ. We don't need to be in bondage to doctrines of devils and addictions. We can be free from all that. I am a firm believer in the one-step program. And the one-step program is, ye must be born again. So Jesus said, ye must be born again. You're born first of your mother, and then you must be born of the Spirit of God. And that comes with confession. Confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. So confession, repentance, and you can have a life-changing experience. And it's not done by water baptism. You don't get born again by being baptized when you're a baby or even being baptized when you're an adult. But you're born again by confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him, asking him to come into your life and be your Lord and your Savior, your Master. And you will be surprised how your life will change for the good. And you won't need AA and rehab, and you can have instant rehab. We have God's Word, and God's Word is a wonderful tool, I'll put it that way, because as you read God's Word, your mind becomes renewed. And there's something about the Word of God. It's alive. And it gives us strength and peace and joy. God said he puts his word above his name. So if you're depressed today, or you're addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography or whatever it is, or you're thinking about suicide, get out your Bible and let that word of God refresh you today and bring joy to you and peace, because we are only going to have peace in this world when the Prince of Peace returns. There will be no peace on the earth until Jesus Christ himself returns, the Prince of Peace. So as we see the unrest in the world, we know that there is only one way to have peace, and that's through Jesus. So I was doing some research this morning, and I've actually known about it for quite a while, the Alcoholics Anonymous, and how so many people think that it is actually a Christian organization, but it is not a Christian organization. It sounds like a good idea, and there's probably many people that have been helped by Alcoholics Anonymous, but as far as experiencing a coming to know Jesus Christ in Alcoholics Anonymous, it won't happen, because it is founded, Alcoholics Anonymous, on the principle of a higher power. Now, according to them, there are no absolutes. So the higher power in Alcoholics Anonymous can be anything that you want your higher power to be. Well, there are absolutes in this world. God has given us absolutes. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. We have to have laws, to God's laws especially, as a way to guide us in life. And we know, since God is God, he's pretty smart, he knows everything, He created everything, so he can certainly write a book and tell us how to live. So there is no definite religion in Alcoholics Anonymous, as far as they don't say, well, this is the way to find peace. They say, well, you find it in whatever higher power you want to find it in. So that's not Christianity. Christianity is faith in Jesus Christ, a living person, because we know that most people know this, that Jesus Christ was born, that he walked on the earth in the nation of Israel, and he died. Some people don't believe he rose again, but to be a Christian, you have to believe that. He rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So he is perfectly capable of healing people. He is the healer. He is the ultimate healer. He is the ultimate deliverer. So Alcoholics Anonymous, they do not have the answer. Bill Wilson, who was the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, was an alcoholic himself, and also he used LSD. He was trying to find, I guess he was trying to find God somewhere in all that mess through these spiritual experiences, but you can't find God using LSD, that's for sure. You might find some devils, but you're certainly not going to find God using LSD. But he also, and I want to recommend a book, because I was listening this morning actually to a few interviews, and I've heard her before, Kathy Burns, and she has a book on Alcoholics Anonymous. I think you can get it on Amazon, but it's really, really a good book. She really did her research, and I did get a lot of this information from her radio, one of the radio interviews that she had done. So I would recommend that book. And also, Bill Wilson, who was the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, had belonged to a group called the Oxford Group. Now, this group, the strange group, really, because they were supposedly a spiritual group, and but they were doing things such as seances and communicating with the dead. If you go to the internet, and you can put in these in your search engine or whatever search engine that you use, the name Oxford Group, and you'll see that the Oxford Group had absolutely nothing to do with Christianity. And Bill Wilson, the founder of AA, was associated with this group. And I don't find any evidence in the history of AA that the founder himself, Bill Wilson, was ever born again, that he ever proclaimed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So to me, that's one of the markings of a cult. If they talk about God, there's so many people that they talk about God, and they'll talk about Jesus, but what Jesus are they talking about? Are they talking about the God of the Bible? Are they talking about the Jesus of the Bible, or are they talking about a Jesus that they made up, or a Jesus they had a vision of? I don't believe that anybody can see Jesus. I don't believe Jesus appears to people. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's not coming back. He's not coming back until he comes back for his second coming. So he's not making special trips to earth to visit people. It's just not scriptural. So I don't know which Jesus they're seeing, because we base everything that we believe on God's word. We don't base it on visions or dreams or even miracles, because as you remember, many times in the Bible, especially when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, there was many miracles performed by pharaohs, magicians, and I believe Jesus Christ is a miracle worker. I've seen him do miracles in my life, and I've seen him do miracles for many people that I know. So I do believe he's a miracle worker, but there are false miracles too. So you can't, and Jesus said it was a wicked and perverse generation that always went looking for a sign. So you could see that the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you'll see this if you go and do the search for the Oxford group, it's very, very enlightening. And I thought one of the most curious things about the Oxford group, and I think it was founded by a man named Buckman, and he was on the cover of Time magazine. And then one of his quotes is, "Isn't God a millionaire?" Well, doesn't that sound familiar? That sounds like a teaching that some of these prosperity teachers have today. That of course God is rich, and Jesus was rich, and so it sounds like that whole New Age philosophy. But the history of Alcoholics Anonymous and their association with the Oxford group, which was also associated with some of the Nazis, it doesn't sound like a very good group. Many, many New Age philosophies here, New Age beliefs. So it absolutely had nothing to do with Christianity, none of it. They talk about their 12 steps program, and of course, many of those steps, they sound very nice. Forgive people, all that. That sounds very nice. And, of course, that's always a good thing to do. But where is the step that says you must be born again? Because the only way you can ever be delivered from alcoholism or drug addiction is to be born again. It's not to join Alcoholics Anonymous. Because one thing, their confession is that they are always an alcoholic. They don't drink now, but they are an alcoholic, and they always will be an alcoholic. Well, my Bible says that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So I'm not an alcoholic recovering. I'm not a drug addict recovering. I am a new creature. Hallelujah. So I don't have to live in the past, and I don't have to live. Of course, yes, some mistakes that we made, we do have to live with. We do have to live with some of the mistakes we made, but you can't change the past. There is nothing you can do about it. It's over. So you have to forget about it. And to keep calling yourself an alcoholic after you've been born again, that really doesn't make any sense. But you can go and also read Bill Wilson's biography. If you put it in the search engine, Bill Wilson, founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you'll see that his biography will come up, and you'll read about him experimenting with LSD. He was also communicating with Carl Jung, who was a psychoanalyst or psychologist, very heavily into the New Age and in what I would say really is the occult. So I was telling you about the Oxford group, and some of the famous members were Henry Ford, Mae West, and Guggenheim. So interesting group of people, none of them Christians. So Bill Wilson was interested in spiritualism. Marilyn Ferguson, who is a New Ager, very heavily into the New Age, recommends Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, that should be a red flag that goes up right there. Why would you want to join an organization that is recommended by New Agers? So I'm going to say that Alcoholics Anonymous is not a Christian organization, and I don't believe a Christian should join Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe that if you need to get delivered, you need to get born again and read your Bible, get into God's Word, and stay humble before the Lord, repent often, and God will deliver you. He is perfectly able of delivering you. And we don't have to go into a organization where we will not be uplifted and hear the gospel. I think it's very, very important, especially for new Christians, to study the Word of God, to stay strong in God's Word, and not to put too much confidence in human beings. Of course, because you'll always be disappointed. The Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. So we don't put our trust in men and in earthly organizations. We put our trust in Jesus, and he will never disappoint you. Just because you've been disappointed by something that's happened in your life, and we all have. We've all been there. We've all been disappointed. We've all gone through trials, and it's easy to go get a drink or to get a joint or whatever, but that's not the answer. You can't find happiness in those things, and you know, it might make you feel good for a few minutes, but you can't find happiness in a bottle or in a joint or in a tranquilizer. And you see today, I was just reading the other day in the news that there is a large rise of people on tranquilizers, and some of these new drugs that they give people for depression are worse than having depression. They're making people suicidal. I think a lot of these people that have been committing suicide in the last few weeks that you've been reading about in the headlines, I can guarantee you they were on some kind of a antidepressant. And it's actually been proven. They even put it on the labels of some of these things that it could cause you to commit suicide. Well, why would I want to take something when I'm depressed that's going to make me more depressed? One of the best ways to get over depression is to go and do something for somebody else, is to quit feeling sorry for yourself and go help somebody else, and you'll see how fast you start feeling better. You really do. And the Bible says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So you'll see. If you're feeling down today and you want to go get that drink or you want to go get that pill, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. So open your Bible or go over to the nursing home or the homeless shelter or go pass out tracts tell people about Jesus, and you'll see how fast you start feeling better. So, Alcoholics Anonymous, no, it doesn't have its place in the church. We have the one-step program. One step, hallelujah, you must be born again. So, anyway, also, I'm going to talk a little bit today about inner healing. And we have so many people that talk about inner healing. Actually, there's a lady that she's been emailing me, and I'm going to use this word. She escaped from a church. Oh, I mean, this church is really a cult, I'm telling you. The pastor dresses in one of those funny Catholic priest uniforms, and they're always pimping for money. And they make, if you want to work, I think if you want to work for this ministry, you have to go through these courses. And she was saying that they put her, made her go through some kind of an inner healing, I'm going to call it a ritual, because that's what it sounded like to me, is they made her attend these classes for hours on end, and then they treated her, this is what happens, and this is something that you should look out for, really, is if somebody at your church or your pastor or whoever, they come to you and they tell you, well, you know, you've got a lot of rejection and you've got poor self-image and low self-esteem. So we want you to go through these courses, and also we want you to go to counseling, and we want you to open up about all your past and all your past experiences, and let us help you. Well, in the first place, don't tell everybody all your past experiences and even your present experiences, because I guarantee you, for the most part, some people can be trusted, but very few people can be trusted. So if you tell someone your innermost secrets, you can be sure that they will also tell someone your innermost secrets. And I myself have been in churches where I would go to the pastor for counseling, and then if you do something that the pastor doesn't like, well, don't you know that then they will use what you told them against you? And they will. I mean, not a real pastor that has a pastor's heart. He's not there to hurt the sheep. But some of them will. So I don't advise people to go to the pastor and the pastor's wife and tell them everything about your marriage and about your past and, you know, about all your hang-ups and all that. Why don't you try telling Jesus? He's the only one that can help you anyway. So that's my advice, is to tell Jesus. And your past is the past. You can't do anything about it. So why do you keep bringing it up? Why do you keep bringing up stuff that happened when you were 5 years old? Well, they made this lady go to these sessions, and then they had her going over her memories when she was 3 years old. Look, I don't remember anything about when I was 3 years old. I think the first memory I know of might be when I was about 4 or 5. I can remember a few things, but I don't remember much. So they take you through, and it's a form of mind control, and I think it's even a form of hypnosis. But they take you through all these steps, and they want you to go back into your past and to relive all these things that have happened to you. And then they want you, then they make you forgive everybody that hurt you. And you know, the whole thing is weird. It is really, really weird. And I don't think that you should subject yourself to this kind of treatment. You're not going to church. If you're going to church, you're going to church to be uplifted and to hear the word preached. And you're not going to have somebody go over your past and ask you about every detail of your life. And some churches even write it down, and they even keep files about you. You know, I mean, who wants all that stuff out there? You certainly don't want all that out there. And I'm telling you, if they're doing that, if they're doing that kind of thing to you in your church, well, you need to hit the door running. I mean, like with your arms up in the air screaming, get me out of here. Some of these churches, it's like they've become kind of like insane asylums where you go there and there's some wild person up there in the pulpit dressed in a funny costume, and then they're subjecting to the people in the congregation to all this humiliation where none of that is of God. It's not of God. Jesus Christ left heaven and came down to earth and died on a cross for our freedom, and then we want to go back into bondage again. So it's easy to do, you know. I mean, it's really, really easy to do because you think that these people love you and they're trying to help you. Well, you know, there are some wonderful people in the body of Christ. Yes, there's some wonderful people. But the only person that really loves you is Jesus. He really loves you. He laid down his life for you. Just, you know, God himself came from heaven and walked the earth, and he died on a cross. Now, that's real love. That's real love. I'm not about to leave my house here and go die on a cross. I'm not about to do it. So, that's real love. But let's look at a few scriptures, because if I want you to get one message today from this program, is I want you to know that you are free in Jesus Christ. You don't have to go over all the memories and all the things that have happened to you in your life and keep rehashing it and keep reliving it. And it's over. It's over. Put it behind you. Forgive people that have hurt you. Be quick to forgive people, because as long as you are on this earth, you are going to have to forgive people, because people will hurt you. And so you need to get over it, because I'm sure you've hurt people too. So I know I have. And so none of us are perfect. There was only one perfect one that ever walked the earth, and that was Jesus Christ. He was perfect. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that makes you happy, doesn't it? It makes me happy. And Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I used to really love that scripture when I first got born again. It meant so much to me because I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. And after I was born again and I realized that Jesus took my sins and He forgot about them. He forgave me, and I became white as snow. That was such a beautiful feeling, I'm telling you. It was just beautiful. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, hallelujah, from the law of sin and death. We are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And Jesus Christ himself redeems us from the curse. And that is in Galatians 3:13. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. So if you're redeemed from the curse, then why are you letting people put curses on you? Why, for instance, have you ever heard about generational curses? That people want to tell you, well, you know, you're born again and you're a new creation, but you've got some generational curses from your mother or your father or your Aunt Ethel or whoever. Well, my Bible says in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus Christ has redeemed me from the curse. So if I am redeemed and I am a new creature, I don't have any generational curses from Mommy, Daddy, Aunt Ethel, or Uncle Tommy, or whoever. I have the Spirit of God living inside of me, and I don't have any generational curses. So that's another, to me, that's just another form of manipulation, is to say, well, you know, you've got those generational curses that need to be broken over your life. Well, wasn't the blood of Jesus enough? Wasn't my salvation enough? Wasn't what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross enough? Yes, it was enough. So don't let some preacher or some minister that has this supposed inner healing ministry put you back into bondage, and you'll spend years going around the mountain. Remember, God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they spent 40 years going around the mountain. So you don't have to go around that mountain. I remember one time I had some people staying at my house, and there was a lady that came to my house, and I thought she was a little strange. My friends liked her, but I thought she was a little strange. And so she stayed at my house for a couple of days, and then she started wanting to lay hands on me, and she wanted to make me go through these steps and make these confessions. And she said, okay, we're going to the grocery store, and we're going to walk up and down the aisles of the grocery store, and we're going to ask the Lord what we should buy as we walk up and down the aisles. And everything you did, if you were going to walk out the door, or you were going to go out in the garden and pick flowers or whatever, you had to pray about it first. I mean, I thought, this is driving me cuckoo. I mean, I said, no, I'm not doing that. I said, first of all, I'm not letting her lay hands on me. I'm not going through all those steps. And when I go to the supermarket, I don't have to walk up in the down the aisles asking God if I should buy detergent or eggs or bread or what. I mean, it was such bondage. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I've had other people in my life that they said, well, you know, you have this and you have that. Well, yeah, I've got a lot of things. But I don't want to be put into bondage by somebody telling me that I need inner healing or whatever. That's one of the big things that people say to you when you come out of all this word of faith foolishness, where they tell you that, oh, if you say you have the flu, then you're going to get the flu, or if you say the word cancer, you're going to get cancer. Now, wait a minute. Just think about this for 1 minute. Do you know anyone, do you actually know of one person that wants cancer or that? Tell me, do you know anybody like that? And do you know how foolish that is when people actually tell you it's because you made a bad confession that you got cancer? No, I don't know anybody that had cancer that made a confession that, give me cancer, I have cancer, I want cancer. When they got the cancer, they were trying to get rid of it. But I don't know anybody that was confessing that they wanted it. And, you know, if people try to put you in bondage that your confession brings your possession and all that, yes, there's nothing wrong with confessing God's word. But you can't tell God what to do. He's God. You're not God. So it's another form of bondage. I remember when I was in the Word of Faith movement, I was so afraid. Oh, if I made a bad confession, I was so afraid that it would come to pass. And after I got out of it, I actually even made bad confessions. And I said, well, if I had a cold, I said, well, yeah, I've got a cold. You know, Jesus is my healer, but yeah, I've got one. But I wasn't afraid because I said I had a cold that I was gonna stay sick or whatever. It's just ridiculous. And so is this whole thing with this whole inner healing, going over your past, and then, you know, I mean, some of these people that are in these ministries, I mean, it's creepy. It really is. It's just creepy. And like I said before, don't tell everybody your business and tell everybody all your secret hang-ups and all that. Nobody wants to hear about it. It's not edifying. You know, most of the time, the only people that want to hear about that is somebody that wants to control you. So I don't want to hear all your business. No. I mean, and, you know, it's okay to talk to your friends and you share things, but don't go on and on and on about all your secrets. Keep some things secret. Anyway, let's look at a few more scriptures. You see that Ezekiel, oh yeah, this is a good one, Ezekiel 36. And we're going to look at Ezekiel 36, 26, and Ezekiel 36, 26 says that Jesus, God has given us a new heart. Well, that's pretty good if God gives you a new heart. He takes out that stony heart and he gives you a new heart. So if he gives you a new heart, well, then you don't need inner healing. If Jesus said in Isaiah 61, let me read that scripture to you in Ezekiel because it's so good. Ezekiel 36, and I'll start at verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings, that they were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Now, you know, we know when we're doing wrong, and we can go to the Lord and we can repent, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. And what could be better than that? You know? What can be better than that is that we can go to God, and he's so merciful. He said he writes his law in our heart, and he gives us his word. He gives us his peace and his joy and his comfort. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, Galatians 5:19 says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And you can see all these works of the flesh in Galatians 519, and most people that have these inner healing ministries will try to tell you that it's the devil, and you have a devil, and you need to have the devil cast out of you. When most of the times it's just a work of the flesh, which means that's you doing it. It's not the devil. Don't be trying to blame other people for what you're doing. You need to take responsibility for yourself. That's one of the best ways to get free, is to take responsibility for yourself, for what you're doing. And that's what repentance is all about. It's not blaming other people for your mistakes or for your sins. You have to take responsibility and repent. That's one of the best ways to get free. So you don't have to have people trying to manipulate you and put you back into bondage. And you see the works of the flesh. This is not the devil. This is you. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Hallelujah. No. Wow. You know, that's freedom right there. That's freedom. So don't let people put you back into bondage and tell you that you have this and you have that. And we all have a lot of things. And the best way to get free is to confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I see Sister Soldier in the chat room. Hi, Sister Soldier. Sure wish you could have joined me today. We're just about getting ready to wrap up here, but I just want to encourage you all to enjoy your freedom in Christ Jesus, because it is so wonderful to know Jesus. Hebrews 10:17 says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61:1. Luke 4:18, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, isn't that wonderful? If your heart is broken today, He is the healer of the brokenhearted. And there is nothing like receiving a healing from Jesus. Letting Him reach down into your heart and take away what hurts. Because when He does it, He's not trying to control your life or put condemnation on you or put a guilt trip on you. And one of the things that impressed me so much when this sister had emailed me about this ritual that this so-called church put her through just to work in the ministry was they made her feel like she was defective and that she wasn't good enough because she had confided to them, I guess, her innermost secrets. And they made her go through this training class. I think she said it cost something like $1,500 or something to go and get this inner healing so she could be good enough to work in the ministry. Well, you don't have to be good enough to work in the ministry, because we're all called to the ministry. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We all have a ministry. We all have a mouth. As long as you have a mouth, you have a ministry. You have something to do. So don't let somebody put you into bondage just because they're going to give you a position in the church. Well, like, why are you looking for a position anyway? Because promotion comes from above. God can promote you, and you don't need any human being to promote you, because they'll promote you, and then 2 weeks later they won't like you anymore, and they'll tear you down. Oh, dear. But anyway, I just want to invite you all today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, and this is the most important part of this program. This is the reason I do these programs. I do these programs as teaching programs, but I also want people to know the Savior and to know that you can know Him. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, He is a living God. He's not a dead God. We don't have to bring Him candy and flowers and incense and money to try to appease Him, to try to get Him to do something for you. He loves you, and He is God all by Himself. And He loves you just the way you are. He can change you. I know, because He changed me. And I know sometimes people mock Christians and they make fun of us. And they say, oh, well, you think you know everything. But there's one thing that we do know when we've been born again. We know we've been born again. Yeah, we know it. I know it. I know that I was changed in an instant. Yes, I was changed immediately. All the old things passed away. I didn't want my old life anymore. I never wanted to go back to it. I remember what it was like not knowing Jesus Christ, and I'm not going back there. Being a Christian is the most wonderful life, and I don't miss the past. There's nothing about the past I missed. It was miserable. So you can get down on your knees wherever you are now and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Tell Him you're sorry for your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't one person that hasn't sinned and missed the mark. So I want to invite you today to accept Jesus Christ. Get yourself a Bible. I like King James Bible. And get yourself a Bible. Start to renew your mind and get that Word of God in you. You will be so blessed. I'm telling you, you will get happy in your house just by spending some time in God's Word. I know this morning, preparing for this program, it blessed me to write down these scriptures and to be able to bring them to you today. I want you to know the joy and the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring. So don't forget, if you're lonely or you need a friend, you've got a friend in Jesus. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He said He would never leave you or forsake you, and that you can be sure of. So don't miss the chance today to get a new life. Yes, to get a new life. So be blessed, y'all, and don't forget to tune in. Next week, I'm going to have my good friend James Sundquist on next week, and we've got some interesting things to talk about. So don't miss next week's program, because you truly will be blessed. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in, okay? Bye-bye. Be happy.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.